Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have been with us. And we pray, O God, that you will help us to see what you have to say to us. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The text for today is found in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 33. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And a child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. This seems like a text maybe out of proportion or out of place, and yet it tells us the continuation of what God has done for us and what God is doing for us. As we look back and we look at Christmas ourselves and we say, we've had a Merry Christmas, we had the Advent season, and we have celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. We maintained then, and we emphasized, I believe, very, very plainly, that the birth of Christ is not only in the birth in the physical sense, but he also has to be born in each one of our hearts and in our lives, that we can serve him and do his will as we go forward from day to day. If we look back into Isaiah and we see God speaking through Isaiah and God speaking to the people of Judah and to Israel, his chosen people, and he says, "I chose you. I wanted to take a nation, a peculiar people, if you wanted to call them that, and I wanted to show my love and my strength through you, that if you would obey my commands and you would do what I said, then the world would see the goodness of God through you as a nation, as well as individuals. And by doing that, they would want to follow God instead of Satan." Satan had taken the earth, the creation of the earth, by force when he had got Eve and Adam to sin and to eat of the forbidden fruit. We find then, too, that God had to put a curse on the world or on the earth because it was his perfect creation. That world today is groaning to be released from that curse. And the Christian is groaning to be released from the curse of sin, that our mortal bodies will put on immortality and we will be forever with Christ. Christ said in Isaiah, he says he would be their Savior, he would be their Lord. But they were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and they refused to listen. That is human nature, or so what we would call human nature, that Satan has his own way in our physical lives so much of the time. We find that the Israelites are just like the rest of us. They became hard-hearted and stiff-necked, and they would not listen to the judges, and they would not listen to the Word of God, and they wanted to do things their own way. God was their king, and yet they wanted a physical king in which they could take and look at and say, we are just like all the other nations of the world. God says, I wanted you to be separate, and I wanted you to be a special people, obeying my commands. I have given you Moses, and Moses has led you out of Egypt through the wilderness. And through that wilderness, I was with Moses, God says, and I watched over you. I gave you a cloud to follow and a fire to protect you. I drowned the Egyptians so that they would not hinder you and take you back as captives and slaves, and you would not listen. Because you wouldn't listen, you were bound to wander in the wilderness some 40 years. In those 40 years, everyone above the age of 20 passed away, except two, Caleb and Joshua, because they were following God all the time. And so God let them live. Even Moses did not enter the promised land. And as they go through and they go into the promised land, they were given cities that they didn't build. They were given vineyards that they didn't plant. And God provided for them a very special way. God provided for them, and he says, I am your God. I am your Lord. I am your Savior, and I will take care of you. I want you then to live for me in faith and in righteousness. You see, when Jesus was born and when he died on the cross, even the women cried and says, showing sympathy for him in his misery. And yet he says, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, God wants our faith. And in having our faith, we would believe and trust in him above all things. We would find that as it tells us in Corinthians chapter 10, it says, Paul is talking to the Corinthians here. He says, I want you to know that you all were baptized under Moses, in Moses' baptism, and that in this cloud, Christ protected all of you as you went through the wilderness. And as you passed through the Red Sea, God was there for all people, not just those who believed in God as the supreme one that had created the heavens and the earth, but even the unsaved or those who did not follow God. God was there and gave them dry land in which to cross over. And he says, you all ate of manna those years in the desert. You all had clothes that never wore out. And I did the same for the just as well as the unjust, to bring you to the knowledge that I am the Lord thy God, and there's no other God before me or like me, and that I am the one in which you should worship and you should obey. And we find that all the people were going through the same thing, whether they believed in God or not, and that it was the same spirit that led them, that they all drank from the same water, the water of the living Word of God. And through all of this, the Israelites went, they received God's goodness and his mercy, and yet they would not turn their hearts and lives to him, but they became hard-hearted and they became stiff-necked, as God calls them in their own languages. And then we find also that Paul tells the Galatians, as he spoke in Galatia, he says, if you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have Jesus then not only as your personal Lord and Savior, but he is the one that will take care of you and help you. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that is the gate in which you go in and out of. He's the one that will call you by name. He's the one that will give you peace, even in the times of trial and in times of hardship. And in those times of peace, he will help you to be completely at peace when the world seems to be going around in the wrong directions. We find so many times that the world will want to try and make a point, and they will draw their own conclusions and they say what they want. We find that the media today has made it such a way that what they want to report is what they want to hear and what they want people to hear. We had, as I was telling some earlier today, there was a survey, and a large number, the majority of that number, wanted the president to be impeached or at least censored. And then they, down at the bottom of the article, they said that 80% of those surveyed were from the left party, and the other 20% was from the right and others, independents. So they got what they wanted so they could report it according to what the way they wanted to do it. And this is man's way of doing things. Man thinks his ways are the right ways, yet God says, my ways are above your ways, my thoughts are above your thoughts. We find so many times that it seems like the blind is leading the blind, and yet Jesus says, if the blind leads the blind, they will both fall in the ditch. And so we find in Galatians, Paul is saying, if you have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Christ not only died for you, and he died for the sins of the whole world, but in that, he has made us all heirs of God. And if we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we not only receive the Holy Spirit and we're baptized by the Holy Spirit in us, but we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living within us, teaching us and helping us to serve him and to do his will. We find also that those who do not obey will be like the rebels or the radicals and the prodigal son that left on his own and would not listen to what the father had to say. We find that they go out from the world, and as they grieved the Holy Spirit in the days when they went wandered in the wilderness, we find that Jesus has said the sin against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And that sin against the Holy Spirit tells us very plainly is that we reject what Jesus Christ came into the world to do. He came in to die for our sin and to reconcile us back to God. He came in to pay that penalty of sin. Therefore, we're heirs of God because that sin has been paid for. Yet we find, even though we drank of the same drink, and we hear the same words, so many people today will take and deny Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They will deny Christ as the only true living Son of God, the one that came in the flesh, the one that died for us, rose again, and ascended into heaven for us. we find that these people do not want to follow God, and therefore they will sin against the Holy Spirit by rejecting Christ and rejecting the word and the work that Jesus came to do, that they will not increase in wisdom of and stature, or they will not increase in the wisdom of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God cannot lead them because they have refused to do the work of God, and that's to believe in the only begotten Son of God that God has sent into the world. You see, in Peter tells us that we are a precious people, a peculiar people, because people look at us and say, what are you trying to do when we believe in Jesus Christ? And we're willing to put Christ first, and we're willing to take up our cross and follow him. As we take up our cross and follow Christ, we're willing to put aside the things of the world that we may help us temporarily, or may help us in the long run as far as the physical life is concerned. But we want Christ to shine out from us, and we want Christ to be seen in us, that when people look at us, they see Jesus, and they see Jesus living in us and through us, that we would then know that we have left the world of darkness and we're into the world of light, the light that only God can give us, the light and the power of salvation that he gives us because we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Yes, we had to repent of our sin. We had to ask God into our heart, and we find that Jesus is that chief cornerstone that was rejected by the people of his day and is rejected by many even today. We find that in that rejection of the people of his day and of our day, they are trying to change the signs and the laws of nature many times, and they will try and make people believe things are going on that really isn't so, because God has told us that they will believe a lie. Yet Jesus says, when I come in my name, you will not believe me. You will not believe that God sent me, even though my works will witness and testify of me, and my works will testify that I am the Son of the living God. That those same works that testify of Jesus coming and dying for our sin, and the people who do not believe, their eyes are darkened. And Jesus asks, how dark is that darkness in your body? Do you have the light of life in you? Jesus tells us in John chapter 1, he says, all those who believe on me, I give them the right to become the sons or children of God. And those children of God, then as we walk with the Lord and as we're sealed onto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit, as we're walking with him, let us walk in such a way that people would see us and glorify Christ in how we live and what we do. That we find that we will be the ones that lead others out of the world of darkness into the world of light, and that they would have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. As we look at the portion of Scripture today, we find that they took Jesus into the temple in Jerusalem, which was about 5 or 6 miles from Bethlehem, and they went there on the eighth day, which was what was required by the law of Moses and by God's law under Moses. And as they came, Simeon happened to come, and he seen Jesus in the hands of Mary, and he takes Jesus and he says, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, because I have seen the glory of God. He realized that this was the Son of the living God, that God had come as a small child into Bethlehem, into our world, to live with us in such a way that we would see the righteousness of God and that we would see God living without sin. Simeon had been told he would see the Son of God before he died. Anna came and she testified also of Christ. You know, you can take and say, and you can see when Simeon told Mary, a sword will pierce through your own heart and through your own life. We can see when Jesus was crucified and Mary stood at the foot of the cross, seeing her first begotten Son, the Son of the living God, hanging on the cross for our sin, and maybe not fully recognizing or realizing what was going on, how it broke her heart and how it pierced her soul in sorrow and sadness to see Jesus dying in such a horrible manner. Yet this was all done to fulfill the law and to fulfill the need and the payment of sin that had to be paid. Jesus paid that sin. Jesus paid that penalty for us, and he has then given us eternal life. Jesus wants our faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's that faith that Jesus wants us to have in him, that faith that would trust in him above all things, the faith that we would stand up for him, the faith that we would be strong enough when people ridicule or demean us, we would say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is the one that died for me. What can I do except give him and be willing to give him my life also, that he can work a mighty work through me, and that I realize he is my Lord, my Redeemer, my Counselor, my Prince of Peace, because I have all of these things in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what's happening to my physical body or how people may treat me, I still have Jesus as my Lord and Redeemer, my Prince of Peace, because he gives me the peace which passes all understanding. He gives me the peace that I need in order to go through life. He gives me the love that I need to show to those that are demeaning me or demeaning him, and that God's love and God's mercy is shown through me to those round about me. That we find that he is our chief cornerstone, and he is the one in which we build our found on the foundation that he has started. He is the foundation, the cornerstone. He is the one that we live for. He is the one that we're willing to die for. He's the one that has given us a 2018 year in which we have had, hopefully, praises for God always. And in the future, as we look to 2019, that he will be there for us, and we know he will be there for us, but that he will also help us through the hard times in life as we go through the next year and years, that through those hard times we can glorify him, and that others will see him in us and glorify him also, that he is the one. He is the one that not only died for us, he is the one that has saved us. He's coming again. And when he comes, all those who have rejected him will also see him, and they will mourn because they have turned their hearts against him. Those who have died in him will be raised again, and they'll be caught up in the air with those who are alive and remain at the last trumpet. We find when God calls us out of this world, our mortal bodies will be changed to be immortal, and we will live forever with Jesus Christ. We will have the right to go in and out and find pasture, as he tells us in John chapter 10. because he is a good shepherd and he calls us by name and we hear his voice and we follow him. Heavenly Father, help us to follow you. Help us to do your will. Help us, O God, that as we do your will, people will see your goodness in us and that people will glorify you for today and always. Help us, O Lord, to be your servants today and always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us turn to hymn 44, Go Tell It on the Mountain.